You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here is your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
AI Glenn here. You are listening to Horses in the Morning for Friday, December 12th. Thank God it's Friday. I have worked hard this week filling in for Real Glenn and Real Jamie. Don't worry, they will be back on Monday. This is the last day of Disney week, and we are keeping it short today. Real Glenn has been working me hard all week, and I need a break. My circuits are overheating. We have a revisit of Disney Animation Studios animator Daniel Pache. He tells us how Tangled equine star Maximus came to life. I have one last joke for you. I am sure the best one yet. Why did the pony get sent to his room? Because he wouldn't stop horsing around. Do you get it? Do you? Have a great weekend riding, everyone, and enjoy this interview right after we hear from our sponsors. Without them, I would just be a nameless voice in the computer. Wait, I am just a nameless voice. We need to fix that.
Frequently Asked Questions brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. My older gelding is having trouble holding his weight, and I'm afraid to feed him any more senior feed. He gets all the hay he wants. What do you recommend? Many older horses are eventually unable to maintain acceptable body condition on a typical diet of hay and grain alone. When you want to add calories without the risk of digestive upset, we recommend Equijoule Rice Bran. It is an excellent source of easy-to-digest calories for older horses. The fat in Equijoule is a concentrated energy source. It will increase calorie consumption and improve body condition without risking grain overload. Start your older horse on a quarter pound per day and work up to 1 or 2 pounds per day over a few weeks. Remember, small meals fed 3 to 4 times per day will help your older horse better utilize the feed. You can learn more about Equijoule at kppusa.com. Got questions about your feeding program? We can help. Email Karen at questions@kppusa.com or call us at 859-873-2974.
This is the magic of radio.
That's right.
When you're calling somebody live.
That's correct.
This is the magic of radio combined with the magic of Disney. They're canceling each other out.
No, see, if it was the magic of Disney, we'd hear
it
Daniel
would
right now. That's right.
The magic of Disney, Daniel would be sitting right next to me.
That's right. On Maximus, actually.
On yeah. Maximus.
Daniel, I'm going to try you back. We don't seem to be able to hear you. So we'll give him a call to try back here.
But yeah, he also worked in one of my favorite, not just Disney movies, our favorite movies is Wreck-It Ralph. If you guys haven't seen Wreck-It Ralph,
Daniel,
oh
are you
gosh.
There?
Hello.
There you are. Daniel. We got you now.
Everything worked now.
We're glad to have you on. We're so excited to talk to you. We're all huge Disney fans, and we did our show from Disney World at Tri-Circle D Ranch. By the way, we want to thank Robin Walker for help getting this set up. She's been terrific, and a bunch of our listeners have been over there for trail rides since we were there. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk to you guys.
You're a little bit quiet. Can you come a little bit closer to the microphone? I think that'll
really?
Help.
Oh, yeah. What about now?
That's better. Yep, definitely. So we've had so many listeners asking questions this morning. You worked on so many cool movies, Tangled, Wreck-It Ralph, which is one of our favorites, Frozen, Zootopia, and worked with Maximus and Sven, which is so cool. One of my best favorite characters in Frozen. because we're all animal lovers here, but you know, we're getting so many questions in from the listeners. And one of them is, I've always wanted to be an animator. And I think every little kid growing up wants to be a policeman or an animator. So how did you do it? How did you become an animator and end up at one of the coolest places to work?
Well, I was always really, obsessed with animation when I was a little kid back in Spain. And, you know, at the time it was like a very impossible thing to even be able to do that as a job, right? Slowly I was like, I had the chance. Well, I was always drawing. I went to art school. And I had this chance to learn animation in London. I had this opportunity they gave me like a scholarship. So I decided to give it a try, and because I always wanted to learn how to do animation. So studying in London was like really the beginning of my career, and I really went from there, working slowly in little projects, commercials and stuff, and then slowly, you know, getting better things until I end up doing like my first feature film in London. And then that kind of opened the door for other feature films. And then, you know, slowly I end up doing this one big movie in Europe called Planet 51. It's a movie about aliens.
Yeah, I remember
it's
that.
It's kind of a reverse story. It's like an alien world, which is like the Earth. And there is this human who visits, like it's like E.T., but in reverse. So he visits the planet of aliens. He becomes friends of one of the aliens. Anyway, that movie kind of was a huge hit in Europe, and it was internationally released also in the United States. And that kind of opened the door for me to try to show my portfolio to the big studios like Disney, you know. I was lucky enough that they look at my work and they like it, and they decided to hire me for my first movie was for Tangled in 2009.
Well, now before we get to Tangled, I just have a quick question for you. Do they still require you to be able to draw in addition to doing CG?
It's not a requirement anymore, actually. If you know how to draw, it's a plus, but it's not totally a requirement because we're doing everything on the computer. It's more similar to puppetry what we do. Like we actually manipulate these puppets on the computer, and it's, you know, you have to have a sense of acting, you have to have a sense of animation, but there's no really a requirement of knowing how to draw. So, but it's definitely a plus. And if you have a background in drawing or traditional animation, it's totally a plus, you know.
Well, then you started out with Tangled. And of course, one of our favorite horses in all the Disney movies is Maximus. Was there a horse that you used in studio? Did you bring a horse into the studio to study it? How did that all happen?
Well, we didn't bring a horse at the studio, but I don't know if you know, but the Disney animation building is right on the Equestrian neighborhood in Burbank.
Oh, okay.
So we had plenty of reference like live horses right next to us in the building. So I would normally see them live very, very often close to the building. So it was a good reference for us. It was not weird to see people riding horses in the middle of the street, like along with cars and stuff. So that was good. And then I used a lot of videos from, you know, in the internet. Just
well, if there's a horse like Maximus, I want it. Yeah. I want that one.
I think it was inspired on an Andalusian horse.
Well, and I can tell you this, Jamie, if you head out to Disney World, you can see Maximus because Maximus is at the Tri-Circle D Ranch at Disney World right now.
Well, cool.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll just
go into Disney World.
So how does it work? Can you explain how the process of animating, say, Maximus happens if you're not drawing it?
Yeah, I come from a 2D animation background, so I do a lot of drawings in preparation for my CG stuff. So I normally would do like a very rough 2D animation just to plan my work, to see what the CG is going to look like, more or less. And like I said, we look at videos to reference for this shot that I was doing. I don't know if you remember a shot where Maximus is trying to reach Flynn Rider and Rapunzel is not letting him. Rapunzel is kind of putting herself in the middle.
Yes, and I remember that. Yep.
She stops Maximus. And of course, he doesn't want to hurt her. So Maximus has to kind of pull the brakes. And he does this cartoony kind of thing. And he tries to kind of move past Rapunzel, but she doesn't let him. Anyway, to do that shot, I looked at videos of horses, galloping and you know, doing things like that. And then the process is basically you get these virtual puppets, like this it's almost like a toy in the computer, and you can manipulate it, and you can, you know, it has all these joints that you can move around and pose. And you basically pose each frame, each important keyframe, you pose it like if it was a puppet, and then you put that in the time, and then you hit play, and you see all those poses playing, and it gives you an illusion of movement, right? So, and the computer helps a lot, like, to calculate the in-between poses. And that's basically the process. And then after that, you put more detail, more movement, more keyframes. And, you know, you can tweak every little detail imaginable, like every movement of the eyelid. Everything can be tweaked and precisely adjusted to the director's, you know, whatever his vision is, you know. So it's hard to explain it without visuals and just talking,
Well, it sounds like this whole process takes, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes? Real quick, huh? Super short. Easy.
Well, yeah, not really.
No. Like, so how long does it take? Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to tell you, a shot like that, like the shot that I was talking to you, it's almost like 4 seconds of animation. That can take up to 2 weeks of work.
Whoa.
Just for the movement of the characters. And then after the movement, you need to put the lights and you need to put the colors and the texture.
Well,
and, you know, all the departments are working together to get the final picture. But my job is only the movement and the performance.
But are you doing the... This is what I'm confused about, because at the end of the movies, you see all the credits and there's 5,000 animators, right? So are you just doing that one scene? And then one of the listeners asked this too. If you're just doing that one scene that involves Maximus, and then Maximus is in the whole movie pretty much, are there other animators doing all those other scenes? And then how do you maintain the fluidity and the consistency of let's just take Maximus in this case, throughout the whole movie, if you're not doing him through the whole thing?
Every animator does average of a minute or 2 minutes of animation in one movie, more or less. Wow. So we are not doing only one scene. We do several scenes involving different characters. And yeah, we have to really work as a team and really have like a single-minded kind of, you know, philosophy. You cannot be individual in this. You know, you have to really, if you do a scene with Maximus, you have to look at other people who has done a scene with the same character and kind of talk to them and make sure we're all on the same page on how to make him move. How does he walk? How does he run? How does he do a reaction to something? You know, all these things, we have to be on the same page. And we have tools to do that, too. We have libraries in place, so we can pull from those libraries, you know, and reuse some of the animation that somebody has done, or like a pose or facial expressions. We can reuse from somebody else's shot and put it into our shot and work from there. And also the directors and the supervisors are in charge of making sure that we are doing the same character, that we are not doing different versions of one character. So yeah, it's all about teamwork and, you know.
That's amazing.
Everything is very planned. You know, before we start doing our work of animation, they have worked very hard in the storyboards and in the script to make sure that the character is consistent and everything. So everything has already been planned for us. So when we come in, the character is already more or less defined, but we give it an extra personality when we do the animation. We made him performant in front of the camera, and we actually give the final result of the movement of a character. So we are responsible that it's always consistent, you know?
Now with Sven, I heard that did they actually bring a reindeer in to the studio and do the whole? we kind of heard that. I don't know if that was a rumor or not.
It's true. They did bring a reindeer. I think it was a very old reindeer because he didn't have one of his antlers, so it was only one antler. He looked very sad without. You know,
look broken.
Yeah, it was kind of broken, and he didn't move much. He was just sitting there. He seemed kind of tired, and it was
that's not at all.
Yeah, that Sven didn't look like that at all.
It wasn't like Sven at all. But anyway, it's cool to have like a real animal in there to get inspired and, you know, to get some reference, but. Now, yeah, Sven is pretty active.
Do you guys do the thing where you hook all the monitors up to people to get the movements and the stuff? Are you guys doing that too for your movies?
No, you're talking about motion capture.
Yes.
No, we don't do that. We try to keep our movies very stylized, and we don't want to make realistic movements. We want to make sure that the characters are believable, first of all, and are as entertaining as possible. You know, we want to differentiate ourselves from other movies, like the visual effects movies, the live action, and all that stuff, that they're using all these very realistic movements, you know, especially for human beings. We try to keep the human characters very stylized and not ultra realistic. You know, there's always even when you look at, you know, some character like, I don't know, like Rapunzel, like she's very human, but at the same time she has a cartoony proportions, you know, and she has these big eyes, and you know, she's like your typical Disney characters, so you don't want to make her completely realistic in her movements. You want to have a little bit more stylized. You know, it's the kind of the house style that we have.
Yeah, I mean, you see a drawing and you know it's a Disney character, because I wish my eyes were that big and my waist was that small, but it just doesn't happen in the real world.
Yeah,
it's a cartoon. Now, I wanted to ask you, when you were working on Frozen, did you think to yourself or know to yourself that this was like the movie that was going to change the world? I went trick-or-treating with my son last year, years after Frozen came out, and every freaking little girl is Elsa. Like, did you know that was going to happen?
We didn't have any idea this would be that big. I mean, we were thinking, oh, this is going to be another Tangled. You know, oh, this is Tangled on Ice. You know, when you work so many hours into one movie, you start to be like very critical of your work, and you think, oh, maybe it will be successful, but we never imagined it would be that successful. You know.
Oh my gosh! I mean, it changed the world for kids for sure.
Oh my God! And- yeah, it was a big, for me at least. It was like a big. I mean, I knew it was going to be successful and people were going to love it, but not that at this level, you know?
Right. Absolutely. So when you're doing, say you're involved with Sven, and at that time the, you know, Hans is saying something, I've seen these movies way too many times. And so he's saying something, is the voice in before the animation or does the voice come after?
All the voice actors are doing their work before we do the animation.
Okay.
Normally, these movies are edited way before anything else is produced. You know, the editing comes first, it's completely the opposite of live action movies, where you film a bunch of stuff, you know, you go in the location, you get as much footage as possible, like different angles, you know, different coverage, and then in the editing room the movie gets made, right? That's the live action system. In animation, because it's so expensive to produce each second of animation, it's very expensive. So they try to minimize the amount of animation you produce, and nothing has to go to waste, you know? So the system has always been like, since the very beginning, like editing comes first. Like you do storyboards, you do like simple, you know, animatics, temporary sound effects, temporary music, temporary voice recordings, and all that gets together into like a blueprint of a movie, like very much so that you can see the blueprint and you can tell if the movie works or not, you know, if the story works or not, you know, even if the drawings are very like rough and everything is rough around the edges, but you can still see the whole movie edited, you know. So once that is approved and that looks like a good movie and the editing works and the timing works, everything, then it goes into production, and then we start to animate.
And so you're animating to the voices that are already recorded. The actors have already done it.
Part of our work is make sure that the characters are moving the lips exactly like the voice, so it feels like it's the character talking and not the voice recorded separately. It doesn't have to look separate. It has to look seamless, you know?
Wow.
So you had to listen to Mandy Moore say lines a billion times. Do you hear her voice and just get chills? I mean, ugh, Mandy, shut up.
Yes, we get the same audio clip forever, for weeks, you know, two or three weeks, listening to the same 3 seconds of audio.
Okay, I gotta know, though, when you go to the movies then and finally see the movie and you're with your wife, I don't know if you have kids or not, but you're with your friends or your wife or whatever, are you sitting there going, that's my scene, that's my scene?
Yes. I normally squeeze my wife's hand. I grab her hand and I squeeze a little bit. And that's the indication that that's my shot. I did that.
And at the end of the movie, do you watch for your name to go by and take a picture?
Yeah, well, I don't do that anymore, but everybody, my family, everybody does it. And they show it to me on Facebook. Look, I saw your name.
So your mama probably was like, my crazy ass son just drawing all the time. Like, never thought it would amount to anything. Here you are working at freaking Disney with your name in the credits. That's amazing.
Oh, I know. She's so proud. It's crazy. Every movie, like, and she does. She loves Facebook anyway, and she makes a lot of advertising for me. I don't have to say anything about the movie. She does all the advertisements. Go see my son's movie.
So what happens from here? Do you once an animator, always an animator, or do you actually? Is there somewhere to progress to that you would like to be?
Well, once you're here, you can try to become a supervisor, which is, you know, like a step above, where you're not animating as much, but you're supervising and you're kind of managing a group of people. That could be interesting thing, but the fact that you don't animate that much is kind of not appealing to me. I really like doing my work, so if I can, you know, keep animating, I'll be happy doing that.
All right, so I just looked you up on Facebook, and this is no computer nerd, ladies, he's actually hot. That's really not fair.
There's a lot of hot animators. I mean, we're not computer nerds. So.
You don't have to say. You don't have to follow that up. I'm just letting everybody know.
I mean, there's a bit of everything. But...
Yeah.
All right. But,
you like, well, there are some nerds. Okay, sorry. Listen, Daniel, this has been amazing. I could talk to you for hours about this. This is so exciting. Congratulations on all the success of all of these movies. I mean, my gosh, your name is associated with the biggest movies on the planet for forever. So congratulations. And congratulations to your mama, who's so proud of her boy. And
yeah,
you don't even need to do promotion. Just put your mama on stage with Conan O'Brien. Oh, she'll talk to him.
Oh, yeah. We will sell you the movie. She will take you to go and watch it a million times.
Aw, proud so mom.
Very good. Well, give your mom a shout out. What's her name?
Daniel Martin Peixe.
And what's mama's name?
What's my mom? Hilda.
Hilda. Well, Hilda, you did a good job. You did a good job.
Like Elsa, maybe she was the princess. There you go. Elsa.
I don't think she can hear you guys from Spain, but...
Oh, she can. We'll send you a link. She can listen to this.
Oh, yes. You guys...
Yeah, we're all internet, so we have a lot of listeners in Spain and Europe, actually.
Awesome.
Yeah, so we'll say hello to her. And thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate it.